Jesus Christ, who changes absolutely everything. Amen. Our hope is in Him alone, the one who is able. Amen. Oh, Jesus, you're so good. You're so good. Well, good morning, church. How are you doing? Awesome. I like good. I'm going to make some statements this morning. I'm just going to make some statements. I want you to consider them. I want you to seriously think about them. Here's the first one. God is infinite. He is immeasurable. He is limitless. He is all-knowing. That means He knows us intimately. He knows our strengths, He knows our weaknesses, and He knows the secrets of our heart. His love is everlasting. It knows no limits. He is all-powerful. His power knows no limit. He's not limited by time or space. He was before all things. He created all things. And He holds all things together. Amen. Amen. And here's one other thing I want. You know, He doesn't even think like us. Do you know that God has never had a thought that goes, oh my gosh, I never thought of that before. He knows all things. And all things are in His hand. All things are in His hand. Amen? So how do we who are finite and limited begin to even comprehend an infinite God? Here's an amazing truth. God, instead of making Himself smaller, invites us to get larger. God invites us to get bigger. He doesn't make Himself smaller, but He invites us to come into a larger place of faith in Him. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. It says this, and we all who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, listen to this, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We're being changed to be more like Him. God, instead of making Himself smaller, invites us to get larger. However, you love the howevers, for us to come into a larger place of faith, we all can often find ourselves in a place of challenge and tension. That's because we find we have to confront the thoughts and beliefs that have created limitations in our lives. So for us to come into a larger place, a greater place of faith, it requires a willingness to honestly and sincerely face and deal with the questions of our heart. Amen? So this morning, I want to look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. And just full disclosure, I actually preached on this passage of scripture about 4 years ago. How many remember that message? Yeah. How many need to repent of lying? Turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, and we're going to look at verses 14 to 27. And I want to look at this passage and give it some fresh application as we continue to focus on our series, continue to look at our series, Focused Faith. And I've entitled this talk, An Honest Cry. An Honest Cry. So, Father, let's pray. Father, we come before You right now. And I thank You for Your presence among us. And I ask you that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. And we invite you to come in such a way that you would deal with what's inside. Maybe there's things there that we haven't wanted to face or haven't wanted to admit. Maybe there's questions, there's wonderings, there's things that have created limitations in our life, Lord. And I would ask that you would come in such a way that you would touch those areas and take us beyond those areas so we can come into that place of larger faith in you. So Holy Spirit, come and speak to us this morning. I pray for your anointing to ride on the words that come out of my mouth and go into the hearts of the hearers and do exactly what you want it to do, Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 27. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. And a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father explained, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood. So much to learn from this account this morning, but our focus is going to be on the Father in this account. Earlier in chapter 9, we learned Jesus was coming down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and it was on that mountain where they saw Jesus transfigured. They saw Jesus in his glory and in splendor. And then in verse 7 of chapter 9, we see that a cloud appeared and covered them. It enveloped them. And in that cloud, a voice came from the cloud. And it's a voice that rings out here today. And that voice said, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Question, what voices are we listening to? What voice has the power to influence our life, our actions, and our decisions? What voices are we listening to? As they come down the mountain, they see this large crowd of people gathering around the disciples. And they're in this intense argument with some Jewish leaders, teachers of the law of Moses. And it doesn't really say what the argument was about. But I suspect it had something to do with the disciples' inability to deliver this boy who was troubled by a demon spirit. That's where my thinking goes. And I'm sure these religious teachers who love to oppose Jesus, I'm sure these religious teachers were using it as an opportunity to dispute the teachings of Jesus, to dispute his mission and his authority, accusing the disciples of perhaps being liars and deceivers, fakes, and this Jesus they followed was nothing more than a fake, bringing into question everything that Jesus taught. And the disciples' inability to deliver this boy was proof of their argument that they're nothing but frauds. Or perhaps they argued, they might have argued like this. Perhaps it was God's will for this boy to be afflicted the way he was. The boy must have sinned. Or there must be some sin in the family, as evidenced by the disciples' inability to deliver him. You know, in John chapter 9, there's an account, Jesus encounters a blind man. And the first question asked was, who sinned, this man or his family? And Jesus answered, you know what he said? He said, neither. He says, neither. It happened so that the works of God might be displayed. You know, people tend to come up with all sorts of reasons and arguments to justify why the outcome was not the desired outcome. It's easier to disbelieve. It's easier to disbelieve, or it seems to be easier to justify why God will not. It must be sin. They must have done something wrong. It's easier to justify why God will not. It's easier to make God smaller and fit into our limited understanding and limited experience rather than to face the tensions and questions of faith and believe. Some time ago, excuse me, I'm still struggling with my cold a little bit and dry mouth. And I don't want to preach a dry message. Okay, I know that was a bad joke. Some time ago, I was asked to pray for someone for healing. It was a difficult situation, and it included both physical and emotional health. And as I began to pray, the person stopped me. And I inquired, you know, why? They said, stop, stop. And I said, why? What's the matter? And this strange, I'll tell you, this strange, frightened look filled their face as they said, this is what they said to me, please don't pray like that. I said, what do you mean, please don't pray like that? I said, don't pray with authority. They didn't use that word, but they said, don't pray like that. And I was praying authority the way I've learned to pray. God says, pray for the sick and they'll be healed. Lay hands on them. He says, all authority I've given you, go in my name and do these things in my name. And so I was praying with the authority that we have in Jesus' name. And I was saying, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And inviting the presence of God to come. And the person stopped me, please don't pray like that. And they said this, because you don't know if God will. You don't know if God will heal me. Maybe God wants me like this. What if it's not his will to heal me? There have already been too many disappointments in my life. There have already been too many disappointments. Inside this person's heart was a voice of unbelief screaming, don't dare trust. Don't dare believe. Don't dare, because you'll only be disappointed once again. Please don't pray like that, because it's easier to make God smaller. Maybe he wants me to stay like this, and I just have to accept it. It's easier to bring God down and make him smaller than face the tensions and questions of our heart, to face those issues that challenge us, the disappointments. Please don't pray like that. Please don't dare to believe. I don't dare to believe. I'll only be disappointed once again. Yet God's word rings out to us this morning. This is my son. Listen to my love. Listen to him. And skipping ahead in Mark to verse 23, we read the words of Jesus. Everything is possible for one who believes. Everything is possible for one who believes. Don't pray like that. Don't dare to believe. I'll only be disappointed. Unbelief, past experience raising up this fear to believe. Unbelief just screaming. Don't dare. You'll only be disappointed once again. Yet Jesus said, everything is possible for him, for the person who believes. There's a tension there. There's a tension there. As I was considering these words of Jesus, I came across an article in a Christian paper and explaining that we dare, this is what this Christian paper said, it's explaining that we dare not take these words of Jesus out of the context of that moment. For God has withdrawn his power from the earth. This no longer happens. I couldn't believe what I was reading in this Christian newspaper. I said, come with me. Just come with me a few times. Let me show you the ones who have been delivered from, anyway, I've told you those stories. I couldn't believe it. This no longer happens. Don't dare to believe. It's easier to make God smaller and explain why not, rather than wrestle with the limitations of our current understanding and experience in light of God's word. Jesus said, everything is possible for the one who believes. Back to our story. So in the middle of the arguing was a father who was desperate. Now here they are, the disciples and these teachers they're arguing. But in the middle of the argument, here's a father who was desperate to see his son healed from this horrible condition. And when Jesus asks what all the arguing was all about, the father comes forward and says, I brought my son to your disciples so they could drive out the spirit. But they could not. Whoa. I brought my son to your disciples so they could heal them. But they could not. There's a message right there. The father's son had been like this since childhood. How many times had this father reached out for help? How many times had he been disappointed? And even when he reached out to Jesus' disciples, he was disappointed. I brought my son to your disciples so they could drive out the spirit, but they could not. What beliefs do you think were being formed in this man's heart because of his experience? It's not that people didn't want to help him, I don't think. I think they realized, and nobody knew how to help him. And I can imagine this father is heartbroken, now believing there is no one who can help my son, not even God. Jesus says, bring him to me. And so out of desperation, the father brings his son to Jesus. And he says, if you can do anything, have pity on us. If you can do anything, have pity on us. Not a great position of faith, is it? But before we criticize the father's faith, consider what he's been through. No one who he has brought his son to has been able to help him. No one, not even the disciples. Consider what he's been through. But here's the amazing thing. As weak as his faith may have been, he is still able to cry out to Jesus, if you can do anything, have pity on us. And Jesus looks at him, and I imagine Jesus looking at him with the love and tenderness that is characteristic of Jesus. And he says, if you can, And I've read so many things here. Jesus is telling this man off. If you can, what are you? And I don't believe that's what Jesus was, how Jesus was posturing himself at all. In fact, in my Bible, it's got a if you can question mark. It's a question. Jesus says, if you can. If you can believe. And I don't, this is not some sort of rebuke as to say, what do you mean if you can? It's a question. And Jesus asks, if you can believe. In other words, if you are willing to press through the disappointments and come to a new place of faith in me, if you can believe, if you're willing to press through, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to come higher. It was an invitation for this man to move beyond the limits and the limitations of his past experience. And it would become a defining moment in this father's life. He says, if you can believe, Jesus says, if you can believe, everything is possible for the one who believes. Come. Don't let the experiences of your past limit you. If you can believe, everything is possible to the one who believes. It's an invitation, and Jesus is calling to this man to come, to move past his limitations, to move past the disappointments of past experience. If you can believe, everything is possible for the one who believes. How many of us are there? If you can believe. And so in that question, Jesus touches something very, very deep in this father's heart. Then what happens? Out of this father's heart comes one of the most honest and pure cries, I believe, found anywhere else in the Bible. Years of emotion well up from deep inside. All the hopes that have been crushed, all the tears shed due to the helplessness, all the worries, all the disappointments forced to the surface, and they come crashing out of his mouth with this one cry, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. I know there's things in my life that are stopping me. I know there's limitations. I believe, but help me. Help me come farther. It's the most honest cry you'll find anywhere in the Bible. I believe. Help my unbelief. Years of emotion coming through. Years of disappointment. Years of shedding tears of helplessness. I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. But at the same time, I recognize the questions and the wonderings, the what if nothing happens again. Because his experiences to this point had in the deep places of his heart put some significant limitations on his faith. But he was honest about it. He was honest about it. You know, if we want to come into a larger place of faith, we have to be honest. We have to be honest about our struggles. To pretend to have great faith on the outside and to struggle in our heart is to deceive ourselves. Amen? To pretend we are these people of faith, that we have great faith, but to struggle inside of our heart is to deceive ourselves. Because it's out of the abundance of the heart, right? The question, if you can believe, was designed by Jesus to touch the struggle and the limitations in this father's heart. Why? So that they could be broken and that he could come into a larger place of faith in God. This father was honest. I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. It was all he had left to say. And he laid his heart bare before Jesus. Now here's some really good news. Jesus can do what nobody else can. Amen? Jesus can do what nobody else can. because he is able, amen? He is able, and he took this young boy by the hand, and he lifted him to his feet, and this boy stood up free, delivered, and delivered from his horrific condition, because Jesus will never fail, amen? Jesus can do what no one else can do, amen? And this father in his cry discovered where he was weak, Jesus was strong, amen? He discovered Jesus still heard his cry. Even though his faith was limited, he took what he had and he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus heard his cry. And Jesus responded with unlimited love and unlimited power. Amen? Hallelujah. That's who Jesus is. Jesus broke through and he broke the limits of this father's faith. And God was not made smaller. This stuff doesn't happen today anymore. God was not made smaller. Rather, this father, came into a new and a larger place in God. This father discovered and came into everything is possible for the one who believes. Because Jesus is true to his word. Amen? Jesus is true to his word. Do not let past or even present circumstances limit what you think God can do. Did you hear that? Do not let past or even present circumstances limit what you think God can do. Rather, be honest with him. Be honest with him concerning the struggle in your heart, and let him bring you into alignment with the truth of his word. Amen. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Let him bring you into alignment with the truth of his word. Now, let's not alter his word to fit the experiences of my history. Let's not adjust his word to fit into and explain my disappointments. But let his word work in us and bring us into alignment with the truth of who he is and what he says. Amen? Spurgeon wrote this, and I love it. As sin, unbelief grieves the Spirit of God. But as a weakness, unbelief mourned and confessed secures the Spirit's help. I believe. Help my unbelief. I recognize there's areas in my life. I recognize there's beliefs because of experiences I've had that have put limitations on my faith. God, I believe, help me get past. Help me get past. Help me break through the wall of my unbelief. Help me break through the wall of the limits that I've put on. Help your word. I believe your word. Let your word break that wall and adjust me and bring me into that place of faith in you. Unbelief as weakness. Unbelief mourned, confessed, secures the Spirit's help. Jesus is not limited by your honest questions. Amen? Jesus is not limited by our honest questions. And Jesus is not limited by our circumstances. Jesus is not limited by the voice of the crowd and the arguments that want to make him smaller. Amen? Jesus is not limited by the voice of the crowd in the arguments that want to make him smaller. He's not limited by papers that say this stuff doesn't happen today. He's not limited by the arguments that want to make him smaller, because Jesus is infinite. He is not limited. Amen? He doesn't think like we do. He doesn't react like we do. God is love. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Listen to him. If you can believe, all things are possible for the one who believes. Will we dare to respond to the invitation to come into a greater place of faith? Will we dare to put off every bit of pretense and be honest with Jesus? By the way, he already knows your struggles, and he already knows your limitations. He knows the things you're bumping into. He knows. But you know what he wants to do with that? He wants to break you through. He invites you to come and be sincere and honest. I believe, help my unbelief. And then discover where I am weak. He is infinitely strong. Amen. Instead of making Jesus smaller, look to Jesus who initiates and perfects our faith, make you larger. Let his word break the limitations of your faith and come into that place where we can, in all sincerity, believe what Jesus said. All things are possible for him who believes. Amen. Hallelujah. If we can have the worship team come back. Why don't you close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. And I want you to be honest. Be honest with the Lord. Are there areas in your life where you struggle to believe God? What voice are you listening to this morning? What of your experiences have caused there to be limitations in your life? Have caused you to be afraid to believe God to move in that area? What belief has erected itself in your heart that puts a limit on God? Maybe you're struggling with a long-term illness. This lady in the Bible struggled 20-ish years, but God set her free. Maybe it's in the area of provision. Maybe, you know, I'll touch the area of giving. Maybe there's, you don't trust God that as you give, he'll give back. Unbelief has erected itself in your heart. God said, trust me. Give and I'll give unto you, pressed out, overflowing into your bosom. Maybe it's in the area of provision. Maybe it's your future. You took a step, maybe at one time it didn't turn out quite the way you were expecting. You were disappointed. And God's challenging you to take another step. But there's been limits. You're afraid to, because disappointment has put limits on your faith. Holy Spirit, come right now. And I pray that you would speak to us. What is it that we're believing that has put a limit on our faith? I want you to wrestle with that question for a few minutes, honestly, before the Lord. As the worship team ministers to us. And you can do that in your seat. You can kneel. You can do whatever you need to do. You may want to come and kneel at the front here. However you want to posture yourselves, but for the next few minutes, I want us to just go before the Lord and allow allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. You probably already know what those limits are. Bring them before the Lord. Confess them before the Lord so that He can break those limitations and bring you into a larger place of faith in Him. So Holy Spirit, come. Speak to us. Touch the areas, the things that we're believing that have put limits.